Welcome everybody out on our seat zero. We'll go ahead and get started as it is 10 o'clock. We're about to enter into our Sunday morning worship, but before we do so, I do have a couple of announcements we'd like to make mention of. We do have a few members who are on the sick list. Trey is not with us this morning. As I said, she is not feeling well. Dave is here with us this morning, but we do want to make mention he had one test last week. He's due for another test. I'm trying to figure out some of the pain he's been feeling. Doesn't have it scheduled yet, so we'll want to remember him. And also, we do want to remember Tina, who has a knee surgery coming up later this month on the 26th. Again, we want to remember her as well. Also, on this subject of illness, Mallory and I do want to make mention that she is feeling somewhat better. She'll have another meeting with her specialist in a couple of weeks, but she is taking some medication that's giving her some relief in the interim. We do appreciate the care and concern, calls, prayers, all those different things that you were all sending our way over the last week, and we had a number of people help us out with different things while she was in the ER and then getting shuttled around to different tests and things like that. So it does mean a lot to us. We did want to thank you all for that. As far as members who are out of town, there are a handful this morning. The Barkers are away from us. However, it is good to have Sandy back with us. She's feeling perhaps a little bit better. Courtney and her family, I understand, are also out of town this morning. Tony and Trey are going to be leaving this week. They said they're leaving tomorrow. They're going out west. They're going to be gone for a week and a half or thereabouts. And also, Mark Nevins is working this morning. Hence, you've got me doing the announcements. The Wednesday invitation, Mark Kaysen was on the website listed for that. Not aware of any meetings in the area right now. We do want to make mention that we met this morning at 9 a.m. Bible class. We're about to jump into worship here at 10. If you're going to be with us this afternoon, we would encourage you to meet back here at 4 p.m. We'll have a second period of worship. We'll also be meeting Wednesday at 7 if you are in town then for a Bible study. As far as the order of worship today, Dave Dickerson is going to be wording our opening prayer. Communion will be handled by Andrew Nevins. Assisting him will be Kevin Keach. Tony Barron is going to be our song leader. You will see he has selected the 301 for his first selection. I would encourage you to be turning to that momentarily. Chuck will be preaching for us this morning. Warren was listed for the closing prayer. Just a couple of other quick comments. We do want to remember the radio show this afternoon. That will be at 2 p.m. Andrew is going to be on, I assume, with Chuck. It's 98.5 FM, 1400 AM. If you have an opportunity to listen in or to call in, chime in some helpful questions for those who may be listening elsewhere. And we did want to make mention, catching us up from last month, Tim will be preaching this evening, so we have something to look forward to in that. If there's anything I have failed to make mention of this morning, please let me know. I will make sure to bring it up at the appropriate time this afternoon.
I will sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me, how he left his home in glory for the cross of Calvary. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Singing with the saints in glory,
88 before we have our opening prayer.
I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can be subdued. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Pray, dear Father, that we would be a good influence,
example it to lead the others to you while we're still yet time. We pray, dear Father, for all those that are teaching and preaching the word this day, that the word will always be brought forth in all spirit and truth. Nothing taken away from it or added to it, but that it will be brought forth and that it should be according to your word. Pray, dear Father, for the tools that we have in reaching those that are lost. There's much work to be done. The fields are white into the harvest. Help us to use those tools to the best of our ability, dear Father, through the TV program and the radio program, and to bulletins being sent out, to the home correspondence Bible studies going on. We pray that there might be some good fruit come forth from hearing your word, dear Father. Be with us now in the worship service, and we pray that all that we do and say will go up as a sweet savor to you. And forgive us our sins, dear Heavenly Father, in Jesus' your name. Amen. Amen.
Seven twenty-six before we take the Lord's Supper.
We saw thee not
when thou didst come to this poor world of sin and death, nor yet beheld thy body's home in that despised and Nazareth. But we believe thy footsteps run in streets and plains, thou Son of God. But we believe thy footsteps run in streets and plains, thou Son of God. We saw thee not when lifted high amid that wild and savage crew, nor heard we that imploring cry, forgive they know not what they do. But we believe that deed was done that shook the earth and veiled the sun. But we believe that deed was done that shook the earth and veiled the sun. We gaze not in the open thy mangled body lay, nor saw thee in that upper room, nor met thee on the open way. But we believe that angel said, why seek the living with the dead? But we believe that why seek the living with the dead? We walk not with the chosen few, who saw thee from the earth ascend, who raised to heaven their wandering view, then low to earth all prostrate bend. But we believe human eyes beheld that journey to the skies, but we believe that human eyes beheld that journey to the skies.
Just as the song that we just were led, we saw thee not We weren't there to witness and to see the death of Christ on the cross. We didn't witness of all the events that led to the cross and even the events thereafter and where he resurrected from the dead. But we have evidence that those who have written these things, these events down, so that we may believe, so that we may continue into the word that Jesus had presented and that what God has presented to those two who are inspired. In Matthew chapter 26, or actually in Matthew chapter 28, I want to look at that after Jesus establishing that he has all authority, he goes on in verse 20, command the apostles, says, teaching them, referring to the people, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of age. Well, what are some of the things that he has commanded us to observe, to continue on? One of the things that we're about to do is partake of the Lord's Supper. If you go with me to a very familiar passage, to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul has written down for us and says, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night which he betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And therefore, whoever eats of the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But a man must examine himself, and in doing so he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not judge the body rightly. So we know this passage very well as the events that Jesus had to take place so that we may have the forgiveness of sins. We also recognize that when we gather together to worship God, that he is in our midst. It would be shameful of us to, right before partaking, that if we do not have the right attitude, the right train of thought, that if Jesus is in our presence, and that we're thinking about other things, that it is a mockery to him, that his sacrifice to us means nothing. So as we are about to pray to God, as we have sung, should already have our minds and thoughts thinking about Christ. If it was not for him, we will not be forgiven of our sins. We will be punished for our deeds and for our actions. And it's because of him that we are debtors to him, as we discussed in our Bible class, that we are always deserve him. May you bow with me at this time. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for all the blessings you have given to us. We are so thankful for the greatest blessing in which you have come to this world to give us thy teachings and thy examples, but more importantly, that you have so freely gave up yourself. Please bless this unleavened bread that represents thy broken body. Help us to remember these events that all that taken place, because if it was not for your son, that we will not be able to have the right relationship with you. Help us to take this in a worthy manner. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May you bow with me again. Heavenly Father, again we come to you in prayer to thank you for the sacrifice, for providing your Son to shed the amount of blood for all of us here. That is through him that we are able to have the forgiveness of sins. Please bless this fruit of the vine which represents thy shed blood. And again, help us to continue to remember these events and take it in a worthy manner. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Just as it was commanded about how we are to examine ourselves, especially if we're taking of the Lord's Supper, we're to examine ourselves on a daily basis. We are to examine ourselves not only to this aspect of worship, but to all aspects. We are commanded on the first day of every week to give by how we are prospered and give a portion of means to God. And we're to examine ourselves to give with a cheerful heart, not grudgingly giving. And we do so knowing that the work of the church of this local congregation may continue to do so. It is our responsibilities to examine of how we are blessed, how God has taken care of us, and to make sure that these funds that God has commanded are used in the rightful manner for the edification of one another and the spreading of God's word. And it's to the elders' responsibility also to make sure that these things take place as well. So we're all to examine one of ourselves, of each other, and make sure that we're continuing to follow God's word. And a great example is with Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5. What they did was they were wanting to be seen by people and saw how others were giving everything that they had in order to help those who were in need, those who had just become Christians. What we are to do is not necessary to give everything that we have. Those are based on our choices, as it's shown through the scriptures. However, if we do not have the right attitude, then what's the point of giving? God doesn't really care about the money value. He cares about what we have planned in our hearts beforehand. May you bow with me at this time. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful and so blessed that we have a God that always knows everything, that knows our best interests and has always looked out for us to take care of us each and every day. We know that you've granted us the abilities to have families, to have each other, to be able to support ourselves and our families, to be able to go out and work. We're so thankful that we're able to have the necessities just to live each and every day, and that we're never in need. We ask you that, as each of us have already determined in our hearts to give back, that we do so in a well-pleasing manner, that all these things can be used to help spread your word, and that we continue each day to do our best to remember and think of all the different ways in which you can help us and that you have helped us. We're so thankful for our spiritual blessings of having this family. And we ask you that we are continued to reach out those who are lost, that your word may continue to be spread, and that with the success, that our family, our universal family, may continue. But we ask you that we continue to do our part and help us as we give. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Before Chuck brings us our lesson, we'll sing 676, 676. We'll sing the first, third, fifth, first of each 676. If you are willing, Mabel, we'll stand while we sing. 676.
There's within my heart a melody, Jesus whispers sweet and low. When I am with thee, peace be still, in all earth let ebb and flow. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Feasting on the riches of His grace, resting neath His sheltering wing, always looking on His smiling face, that is why I shout and sing. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Soon He's coming back to welcome me, far beyond the starry skies. I shall bring my flight to worlds unknown, I shall live with Him on high. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go.
Please be seated. Song of invitation will be 744. 744.
open up your Bibles to the book of Numbers. In just a few moments, we're going to be reading from the 13th and 14th chapters. Good to have everyone out today. I will pass along an email I got last night or received from the people that have the pews. And they said, wanted to give us an update that they have three interested parties in buying their building to convert it into a home. And they said, but we have told the three interested parties that they cannot take possession of it until we are in our building, which is very, very nice of them. Because we have nowhere to store those pews until then, so we're just so thankful. So continue to pray that we hope we can get some moving ahead on getting our building renovated and praying for the funds in that department too. All right. You know, whether we're talking about success within a business, family, or having the church function as it should, one word describes what's needed. Leadership. We need leadership. You don't have to be the CEO of a company to provide leadership within your workforce. You know that. On a small scale, you can show leadership. Even though the CEO never even sees you. You don't have to be the husband or the wife or the oldest child to show leadership within a family. Leadership qualities, I'll talk about that in a few moments. And the same thing within the church. You don't have to necessarily be an elder within the church to show leadership qualities. Provide leadership in different areas that we're going to be talking about this morning. What started this whole process was a good friend of mine who preached out in Nebraska back in the day. His children are growing now, and apparently his son is going to be preaching this morning. And earlier this week, he asked for some advice, and I gave him a little. But he says, okay, he says, I'm sending my children off to school. What do you think is the best advice for me to give my children? And I just wrote there quickly a one-liner by saying, I'm going to give you the advice I gave my children when we sent them off to school. Be a leader, don't be a follower. Now, people gave a lot of other interesting comments and good advice. Well, you think about that, because too many of our children want to follow, and they give in to peer pressure. But you want them to be a leader. You learn to say no, and say, no, I'm not doing this, and they'll follow you. You be a leader. And so I want to talk about this concept of being a good leader. So many examples in the Bible that we could use. But look in the book of Numbers, the first chapter. And as we're going through our study today, you need to ask yourself, are you a leader? Are you a leader? You need to be. It says in verse 1, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel, from each tribe of their fathers. You send a man, everyone a leader among them. Everyone a leader. Pick a leader. Now, we get over to the 14th chapter. Save time. You guys know what 10 of the 12 spies said. And keep in mind, that's a different lesson. But 10 of those spies said, we can't go in there. They're too big. We can't take the land. And you're a leader? You're a leader? That's a sad commentary. Well, let's move on down to verse 6, chapter 14 of Numbers. But Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes after hearing their response. They spoke to the children. Get that? They spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, the land we pass through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into the land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. And all the congregation said to stone them with stones. Now the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of meeting before all the children of Israel. Let's just stop there. I want to talk a lot about Joshua and Caleb here. You talk about some good leaders. And what we're just basically going to do, we're going to look at about 4 points. I think there's four. Let me just quick. No, sorry, there's five. And I'm going to go quickly. But we're basically going to talk about, what does a leader do? What are some qualities of a good leader? Remember, we talk about this in the workforce. You can apply the principles at your job. Oh, you're a good leader. See, well, Chuck, I'm not the boss. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if you're the boss. Family. Stress that one. I'm not the husband. So what? Be a good leader. I'm not the parent. So what? Be a leader. You can be. Respecting authority, of course. And, of course, within the church. Now, what does the first thing? You see, at least, man, I can't wait to get our building. Get that PowerPoint up there and have those points. Just visualize it. Zoom, it comes in. And here comes a point coming across that says, a good leader, he takes direction. Did you hear me on that one? A good leader takes direction. You know, anyone can bark out commands. Any boss can bark out commands. Understand that? But a great leader knows how to take direction. You take somebody at the workforce. You know, somebody's, you know, here's this boss. I need to get a manager to look after things. And there's this guy, man, he's taking notes. He's paying attention. And what this boss is understanding, he goes, wow, this guy, he's got great leadership qualities because he listens. He takes direction. We're always thinking of a leader. He just barks out commands. And you do this, and you do that, and you do this, and you do that, and you do this. Parents, just boss around, do this and do that. And at church, elder, just boss, and members, just boss this, and do this and don't do that. Huh. No, well, first things first. Learns to take direction. It's a good leader. He knows the direction to go. And that's what we learned about Joshua and Caleb within this. You notice verse 8. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into the land. No, they knew that the Lord had brought them this far. They crossed the waters. We've come all this way. We think about that. We do what is right. Wisdom demands that we do what is right. That's why a good boss will take direction. Now, everybody's answering to somebody, right? Everybody's answering to somebody. And even if you go all the way up to the CEO, you know, he's got a plan in mind. You know, you think of Chick-fil-A. I'm just going to use them as an example. You know, if the higher-ups decide, you know what, we're going to be closed on Sundays. You know, and everybody else down the line. You know, but where did he come up with that? You know, he's following some kind of thought process. All I'm trying to get you to see. We follow a thought process. And parents follow that thought process. Husbands and wives follow it. We know what is right. In Ephesians chapter 5, now you might want to mark that. We're going to come back to Luke there, or excuse me, Numbers, throughout our study this morning. But as I run over to the book of Ephesians, say, oh, this is where the husband tells the wife and all the children what to do. No, that's not my point. I'm going to talk about where a husband's responsibility is. In verse 28, husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. For he who loves his wife loves himself. No one ever hates his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as the Lord does the church. Verse 33, nevertheless, each one of you in particular shall love his own wife as himself. And then it talks about, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. You can go over to the book of Titus, chapter 2, and verses 1 through 5, and how the wives are to love their husbands. Again, they're taking direction. The husband takes direction. And because of that, they can be good leaders within the family. Because they learn to take direction and do what they're told and understand what is right. Certain roles don't prevent you from being a leader per se. You say, well, Chuck, I'm not the husband. Well, that kind of reminds me, we got over 1 Corinthians chapter 7. I love this passage. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Verse 16, how do you know, O wife, whether you will save your husband? How will you know, O husband, whether you will save your wife? You can be a powerful influence. I told you, and I've got to come up with another illustration, but it's just a true story. I've told you before about that sister up north. You know, the husband gets up and the husband says, you're not taking the car to church today. You're not going to church. And she says, fine. So she packs the kids up and starts walking to church. There's where the wife says, I'm being a leader. I'm being a leader. I love you, but no. I will serve God. I will put God first. I mean, could you imagine how hard it would be for Debbie? You know, I'm preaching here, and I get up and say, I'm not going to go anymore. I'm not going to go anymore. Well, fine, but I know where I'm going. And off she goes, doing what is right. And I tell you, good leadership, even within the household, is the same way. We talk about it within the church. It's how things will get done. We take direction, but you know that? Because we're just doing it. We see things that need to get done. It's wonderful. You take on duties that are assigned to you. That's a leadership quality. You realize that? Well, I'm only, you know, they asked me to teach, so I'm going to teach. Well, wait a minute, but that's leadership. You're put in a leadership position there. And other people look at you and your example. You're stepping up to the plate as a part of the family of God. They talk about 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that we'll probably talk about a little bit later. But when I go back to Joshua and Caleb, it goes beyond that. We've got to keep moving on these points. Because a good leader, not only will this person take direction, but you understand what's necessary, right? We read it. Joshua and Caleb, they tore their clothes and they spoke to the congregation, the children of Israel, saying. They spoke, saying. A good leader has to speak up. I'm telling you, folks, you get somebody shy, timid, bashful. I can just see you in a company. Okay, I'm going to make you the general manager of this store. Okay? And should have had Mark here today for this one. Okay, I'm going to make you general manager of this store, okay? And here's the things you've got to do. Could you imagine putting a person in that position who's kind of timid and shy and bashful? Person's not doing their job as they should. Doesn't want to say anything. The leader has to speak up. You have to speak up. You have to say things. Sometimes people are afraid to say certain things. And here they are. They're willing to stand up and tell them exactly what needs to get done. Now, were they affected? You know, like that illustration with the general manager appoints this manager. I forget my illustration, but anyway, I'm using Mark. He sees somebody do something that's wrong. He's affected by that. He's affected by that. Parents, you see children do things that are wrong. Within the church, somebody does something that's wrong. You're affected by that. They were affected. Look what it says right here in verse 6. Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes. I get it that people get upset. I understand that. If you're going to be a leader, anybody can get upset and walk out that door. Okay, so you're upset. I get that. I understand. Parents, they didn't what? Yeah, I understand. Getting upset. I get that. Your boss. I get that. You didn't do your job. I understand that. Okay? I understand that. They tore their clothes. They were upset about it. But a good leader speaks. He speaks up. He says what's necessary to be said. In control, of course. In control. These guys. Well, I don't see Joshua and Caleb. Are you kidding me? You guys are so stupid. I mean, I didn't see them going off, you know, ripping them, letting their emotions, you know, because they're upset because of the way they reacted, you know, grab them by the scruff of the neck. Are you crazy? You know, they just like calmly just said, you know what? I'm not going to say calmly. I don't know the inflection in their voice, but I saw the way they're talking about. You know, if the Lord delights in us, I don't see any veins sticking. You know, if the Lord delights in us, if he delights in us, he'll bring us through the land. You say the things that are necessary is the key. And I understand that. And so, again, we talked about with Debbie, if I told her not going anymore, you think she'd be upset? Yes, I get that. There's the upset that's there. But then you say, you know what? I've got to do what I've got to do. Your husband or wife doesn't want you to do what you should be doing spiritually. That upsets you, right? Gotcha. Yeah. But then you gather yourself, I'm a leader. I'm going to be a leader, and I'm going to do what is necessary. I am going to put God first. That's the key within all of it. I'm going to speak up. You know, you have Job and his wife, right? You can switch the roles or have them in the roles that they have there. You can go to Job chapter, I was going to say Job chapter 1, but it's right there when you talk, it's chapter 2. Job chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. You know, curse God and die. You speak as a foolish woman. I'm not doing that. Now, Job is showing some leadership qualities there, but even if you flip the roles, even if the husband tells the wife, you know, curse God and die, or why are you doing that? Look, God's coming first. Show the leadership. That's what's necessary. We need to speak up. When I think so often we talk about Matthew chapter 5 and in verse 16, what's that say? Let your light shine before men. Okay, what does that mean? Does that only mean look at me? Look at my actions. Is that all that it implies? Or does it also include your speech? Does it also include the things that you say? Absolutely. Letting your light shine before man. That's exactly what we're talking about here. And so a good leader like Joshua and Caleb, well, they were upset about this. They're the minority. We're not going to say anything. They spoke up. Gotta love them for it. Gotta love them for it. Thirdly, a good leader, they lead by example, which pertains to the other one, but gives direction. But gives direction. That's what he was talking about here in the 14th chapter. That's what he said in verse 8 and 9. We need to go. We need to go up and take the land. Don't fear, do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection is departed from them. We're ready to go. In other words, you're telling the people, let us, we need to go. We're a part of all of this. This is what we want to do. And when you lead, that's the key. You know, a boss can bark out orders, but an example goes a long way. Remember the district manager of Walmart, a friend of mine I told you? We were walking through the store, and he was showing me his office and telling me about his different stores, and he stopped to pick up a shirt that had fallen down off a rack. And I still remember this day. Al, I said, you've got guys that can do that. He says, Chuck, for me to pick up and do that speaks volumes. That's more than, that would be better than me telling him to pick, hey, what's this doing? Pick it up. For me to pick it up sets the example for them. And so when I think about within the family situation, even within the church, we're talking about, you know, it's easy for a parent to say, don't watch that, turn the channel. But you watch it. You're not wearing that. Well, you wear less. You know, I mean, we have to lead by example. It's easy when you think about a leader that just barks out stuff. But we have to direct them. When I think of the role of shepherds, I get over to 1 Peter chapter 5 and verses 1 through 4. You know, when Peter was making it clear there that as elders of the congregation there, yeah, there's going to be things that you need to speak up about. You know, you need to take direction, obviously. You need to have wisdom. But he mentioned there in verse 2, shepherd the flock. Shepherd. What's shepherd? Lead the flock. Put them in the right direction, okay, and give them the right example to follow. And that follows along in all these different areas, both when we talk about family and friends, but there are just so many things that we can be doing. I think it's interesting that Tim and I have never gotten up here and told you, brethren, look, whenever you see somebody come through those doors that's not a member here, that's a visitor, go out of your way to make them feel welcome. We've never said to do that. Why? Because you do it. That's leadership quality. You just understand that there are things that need to get done. And you go and you go ahead and do it. It's not like you're usurping the authority. It's not like you have to come up and say, Tim, can I go talk to that person? Of course, that's silly. Of course not. But they're just different areas that we know that we are following the lead. We set the example for others. You doing it does it for others. Do you get that? And then what you do is when you make somebody good, you back off and you let somebody else do that. And everybody gets involved in doing those sort of things. Those are just small examples. Just to show us that, you know what, good leaders, what do? They take direction, they speak up, and of course they provide that example for them, directing people in the right way. And that's what the Lord expects out of us, and that's what Joshua and Caleb were doing. Let's go. Let's do it. This is what it's all about. Now, we've got enough time. We've got two really important ones. I don't know if you picked up on them, but notice the last 2 points in being a good leader. And I'm asking you guys, within your family, even at work, even at church, a good leader, what a leader does, he gives assurance. Gives assurance. Now, that's what Joshua and Caleb did here. He said, if the Lord delights in us, he will bring us into the land. You see, this is what a boss will do to the employees. He gives them assurances. Guys, the numbers are up. You do this, I'm proud of you. Keep up the good work. Give them the assurance that if you do this, could you imagine if you did what you're told and you get rebuked for it? Wouldn't it be horrible as a boss? What are you doing? That's what you told me to do. I know what I told you to do. This is bad. Well, that's ridiculous. But you know what? A good boss, he gives those assurances. He builds them up, gives them the confidence that they need. That's what a good leader does. I love that positiveness. And it needs to be there. Especially when you think in terms of a husband and wife and their relationship with each other. You love your wives. They need to be assured of that. Now I'm going to go back for a reason and point this out. I wanted to slow down on this point. Husbands and wives. Parents with children. When he talked about the responsibility there of loving your wife, you know what? Your wife needs to be reassured that you love her. Let me get to that. Let me say this again. They need to be reassured that you love them. Wives, your husbands need to be reassured that you love them. Husbands and wives need to communicate to one another. That's what it's all about. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I told you we were going to eventually get there. You give confidence. You build up. You compliment. That's edification, folks. That's the building up process. It happens within the family. Parents do this with their children. Parents, it's easy to bark out. You know, okay, I'm the leader in this house. Okay, fine. But, you know, give the children some assurances. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, as Ephesians chapter 6 says. But you know what? That's part of the speaking up process. But, you know, you need to assure them. Do mom and dad really approve of me? Are mom and dad really pleased with me? Do mom and dad really care for me? Communicate that is the point. A good leader lets them have that assurance. No doubts that are there. You remove those doubts. A good leader does that. And they hug on their child. They just do those sort of things. That's what we were reading in the prodigal son in Luke 15 when we went to the meeting in Owensboro this week. He talked about that father who sees his son coming from a long way up, goes up and hugs him. I wonder how the son reacted, what he was going through his mind when his father hugs on him. Boy, I guess he didn't want me here. The opposite. The absolute opposite. And we need to be conveying that. And so when I think about that positive attitude, you know, parents with their children, and even a boss. Have you ever gone to work and see,
somebody had a bad day. Stay away from them. They get a chip on their shoulder. They're not too happy. You know, you walk in, good morning, Bill. Good morning. Ooh, thanks. Bend the needles there. Understand this. But I tell you, when the boss comes in, good morning. Hey, good morning. Good to see you. You know, Joshua and Caleb says, the Lord will delight in us. We can go in and take that land. Let's go. Pause. You know, get up in the morning. You know, as parents, we need to give that example to our children and show them, you know, we smile around them and we don't make them nervous around us. You got to love that positive attitude. And it's found within the church. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I love this text. Verse 22 beginning. No, after talking about the eye and the foot and all this, you know, we're all important. But he says in verse 22, no, much rather those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we just bestow a greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty, and our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schisms in the body, but the members should have the same care for one another. If one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. If one member
is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually, as a church here. I got to be honest with you. If I came in here and you said, good morning, Chuck, and I went, or I walked right in here, sat right down there. First one here. Came in, sat down right there, never said a word to anybody. What do you think? Leadership is infectious. You see, I'm telling you folks, Bible talks about, we just did it, didn't we? What did Andrew do? God loves a cheerful giver. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. I'm thinking, God loves a cheerful giver. So what are we doing? We're like this, singing songs. You know, in the prayer. And then when we give. No, that cheerfulness is already there in other aspects of our worship. You know, we have that cheerful heart, that cheerful disposition. I'm just not going to put on a facade here that, okay, I'm happy for giving. But it's the whole attitude, folks. And we are a cheerful people, and that's what the Lord expects of us. Turn to Romans chapter 12. I mean, I love. I understand not everybody can come in and everybody's had a big smile on their face. You know what? I don't know what you went through the night before. This is a great place to come if you had a bad night. I get that. Life stresses, you're having a hard time in life. I get that. But by and large, people come, we are encouraged by one another. I'm going to read a passage here in Romans 12, chapter 12, but remember Romans 16, 16. So, you know, greet one another with a holy kiss. That's a sincere greeting. And so when we see each other in the mornings, we either hug or shake somebody's hand or look them in the eye and say, good to see you this morning, we mean it. It's genuine. It's real. We got a smile in our heart and even on our face. But Joshua and Caleb, they gave those assurances. Romans chapter 12, and then we'll move on to our last point because our time is just about gone. It is. Verse 8. He who exhorts in exhortation, he who leads with liberality. Did I say Romans 12? I hope I said Romans 12, verse 8. He who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness, let love be without hypocrisy, abhor what is evil, cling to what is good, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another. The long list that goes on. We need to be built up. And I'll tell you, folks, being positive, and I know if we can be an encouragement to each other, be up, so to speak. Now, this one. Final point. You want to be a good leader? People can be good leaders in a lot of these different areas. You say, I'm a good leader. I'm a good listener. Yeah, but you never speak up. Okay. Sometimes you speak up, but you don't lead by example. Sometimes you lead by example, but you're never positive. You never reassure. You never build up. And maybe you do that one, and maybe you don't do the last one. And you know what the last one is? Here it is. Here's what Joshua and Caleb said. Look at verse 9. Here, and they're being leaders. He said, oh, not those words, yep, do not. Do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people. That's what he told them. He says, if you fear the people, you rebel against the Lord, we're not going in. And so I'm trying to encourage you. Here's what we need to do. Trying to be a good leader. And a good leader, you know what to do? A good leader warns people. A good leader will warn them. And in the workforce, listen. Make sure those floors are clean. This is greasy back here. Somebody slips, they're going to break their neck. Very important. Warning them over and over. We talk about the problems that can arise at the workplace. You're telling the workers there, look at the customers. If they're having a problem, help them out with it. Work with them. Families. Get back to Ephesians chapter 6. You give guidelines. You give warnings to your children. You tell the children, this is right and this is wrong. That's how you bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You can say the word do not. You can say don't. You can say stop. Well, that's too negative, Chuck. You're just counteracting your previous point of giving assurances. You know, I let them away with everything. You know, it's like the one guy who told me one time, I never had any problem with my kids. Why? He said, they've never disobeyed me because I found that he never gave them any rules. He never gave them any rules. They're never going to break any laws. I get that. But the point is, we have to give warnings. A good leader will do that. teachers of God's word. Yes, positive, built up. But man, if you don't constantly warn people, and that's what Joshua and Caleb did. Don't do this, and don't do that. And the very things he told them not to do, they went ahead and did it. Well, what about the husband and wife? What about the family situation, Chuck? Well, when I think about the husbands and wives and their duties from Ephesians chapter 5 and Titus chapter 1, or Titus chapter 2, rather, communication. Are you ever give any warnings, husbands and wives? You ever give any warnings? Yeah, you do that. You say, look, dear, honey, that could be the man or the woman, so you don't know which one I'm picking on. Honey, dear, look, we're spending more than's coming in. We need a budget. We need to understand that we need to pay our bills. This is what we need to do. And like my one buddy did, he said, honey, check your oil. Check your oil. Newer car. She never, ever, ever checked her oil. And he said one day that she stopped in the middle of the highway. The motor had seized up. It was a glowing. She had never, ever checked the oil. I'm thinking, that's a guy thing. You do it. But anyways, my point is communication. That's just a silly illustration. But I'm just saying, husbands and wives, we do this all the time, don't we? You have to have that communication. Being a good leader within the family is that we talk about things that we don't want to do and that we do need to do. That's just the way it is. That's normal. And within the body of Christ, you get into 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Just as an example, Paul had to tell the brethren there, look, you've got somebody there that's doing something that's wrong. Somebody's got to speak up. You've got to do something with this individual. Verse 2, you're puffed up of 1 Corinthians chapter 5. You have not mourned that he who has done this deed might be taken away from among you. You need to act upon this. There are things that we do not do. When we get into our Roman study, we're going to finish up the first chapter next Sunday morning. And remember, the second half of Romans chapter 1, we're going to get within all those works of the flesh. And on our question sheet was the definition of all those. Look at the definition of all those sins that are listed there. It's our duty to find out what the Lord is telling us not to do. Don't do this. Don't do. Well, what does uncleanness mean? Well, it's going to be hard for you not to do something that you don't understand. All those words there, all those transgressions, we need to be aware of. But giving warnings is part of it. That's not negative. That's helpful. But a good leader will do this. And we as parents do it with our children. We give them the no's and don'ts. But could you imagine if that's all we ever did? If all I ever told my children was, that was wrong. That's wrong. That's wrong. I correct correspondence courses all the time. Could you imagine if all I did was like, well, you got two wrong. I don't know how you got those wrong. I don't know what planet you were on. How about, wow, you had most of them right. You did a good job. Check over those last couple to see if you have any questions about them. But it appears that you kind of understand, but you may have just made a mistake. We understand that. But I'll tell you, churches, families, even in the workforce, we need leaders. I want to ask you, are you one? You need to be. This congregation needs to be right full of leaders because you're going to help others. And you say, well, Chuck, you talk about parenting. I'm not even married. Well, true, but there's a lot of young people here that you can influence. They can look up to you in your example. Just even when you walk through that door and your friendliness and your smile and your encouragement to one another, people learn from one another. We need to learn from Joshua and Caleb when you've got a lot of people out there who are very poor examples of leaders. Remember those other 10? And your leaders? You're leaders, and you're telling everybody we can't do it? Lord's brought us this far. Some leader you are. Oh, they might have been okay in their family situation, weren't they? See? You can isolate it. That's the danger. I don't want us to be good in just certain areas. But develop all areas of our lives of our leadership. They might have been fine in their family, but now when push came to shove, we're going into the promised land. You're going to have to walk by faith and trust in the Lord. Now, how are your leadership qualities going to show? Folks, let's learn from these two men and be godly people who provide example. I didn't talk a lot about becoming a Christian, but I'll encourage you, if you're not one, to become one. Well, Chuck, talk about leadership. Yes, you become a Christian. You're listening and obeying. That's a great leadership quality. You're setting an example to other people who have not obeyed. Obey today. If you're a child of God that's gone wayward, you need to come back. Learn from that. You'll be a great leader that way.
Really?
Yes. People admire courage. And it takes courage to do that. And I ran out of time, but I wanted to go back to Joshua chapter 1 and read about 6 through 8. You want to learn how to be a great leader? Go back and read about Joshua there. It has a great sermon there of great qualities of how to be a successful leader. But if you're subject to invitation in any way this morning, let it be known as we stand together and sing.
Someday you'll stand at the bar of high. Someday your record you'll see. Someday you'll answer the question of life. What will your answer be? What will it be? What will it be? Where will you spend your eternity? What will it be? Oh, what will it be? What will your answer be? Sadly, you'll stand if you're unprepared. Trembling, you'll fall on your knee. Facing the sentence of life or of death. What will that sentence be? What will it be? What will it be? Where will you spend your eternity? What will it be? Oh, what will it be? What will your answer be? Now is the time to prepare, my friend. Make your soul spotless and free. Washed in the blood of the crucified one, He will your answer be. What will it be? What will it be? Where will you spend your eternity? What will it be? Oh, what will it be? What will your answer be?
It's good to have been here this Lord's Day morning. It's good to see everyone with us. Well, here for those that are on the road to travel, and those that are ones that are sick, not able to be with us today. Don't forget the radio program. We'll meet again tonight at 4 p.m. Anything else?
Just that Tim's preaching tonight.
Tim is preaching tonight. I have guest speakers, so everyone be sure to be here at 4 o'clock. If there's nothing else, we have our closing prayer at this time.
Our God, the Most High and Heavenly Father, we're so thankful to you for this opportunity we've had this day, this beautiful Lord's Day, to come together and to worship you, and to worship you in spirit and truth. Dear Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the many blessings we've received. We sometimes forget in our daily lives, each of us, that we face obstacles, that truly you've given us the blessings of this life and this place to live. We're thankful to you for it. Heavenly Father, before we depart this place, we want to offer a prayer for those who mentioned and not feeling well, not with us this day, especially those who are traveling. We pray for our sister Pam, Northwest, she struggled with cancer. Heavenly Father, we pray that we always remain faithful as we face those obstacles every day. Pray that we take time to reflect on what you've given us and to be a prayerful people. And as today's lesson brought forth to us by Chuck, is to strive each day to be a leader in our own way the best we can. Each of us have abilities, and we pray that we have the wisdom and courage and your strength to help us do those things that we can do to be effective in our leadership role. Now, as we leave this place, we're thankful most of all for your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Offer this prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.